present everybody. All right, can I have everybody's attention?
Maybe I'll sit closer.
Yeah, sit closer so you could hear.
Yeah.
Sit closer because
you guys in the chief seats.
John, do you want me to start handing
anything? It's too far away.
Harry, get over here. I'm going to see if you fall asleep. I'll watch you.
Al was there, but he just put out our
trunk.
Okay. We usually sit.
Are you part of it?
Yes.
Where do you want to sit? I was going to stand right here.
Or do you want to sit up here?
I like to kind of move around. So I like to climb over the table or under the table.
John?
I'll hurt myself.
Well, do you want to sit where she is and then she'll...
I can stand anywhere, yeah.
This way everybody could hear.
Okay, good.
We're in the middle.
All right, we are... starting this meeting, okay, John is standing, so while he's standing, he's John Kassenstein, a representative from the New York State Attorney General's office. He's going to give you a presentation on scams and fraudulent activities that target senior citizens, okay? And John, it's all yours.
Thank you, Legislator Sprackman. I appreciate it. By the way, I'm John Kassenstein, whether I'm standing or sitting.
So okay.
You said I'm standing, so don't hey, thank you, everybody, and thank you for inviting us, and thank you to Rose for setting this whole thing up, and the good donuts, which probably as you eat them, you feel your arteries hardening.
You have to spoil it, huh?
That's right. A second on the lips, a lifetime on the hips, remember that thing? Yeah. So, but enjoy anyway. Okay, so I'm from the Attorney General's office, and we got a late start this morning. I understand there's another meeting. Vince tells me at 11:30, so we'll have to move along here. But I'm here to give you some information, and if you have any questions, raise them as I'm talking, and I might have to cut you off because of time, but I'll stay with you outside or in the bathroom or somewhere to answer any questions that you might have. Okay, so it's a beautiful day out there, so I'm happy to be here. What I want to present to y'all is... what does the New York State Attorney General do? How can he serve you? So I'm from the New York State Attorney General's office. Our office is just down the block at 101 East Post Road. So it was a long trip here. I only got lost a couple of times. I'm happy to be here. So what is the Attorney General? Number one, who is your Attorney General? At least, what's today? May
25th?
Andrew Cuomo, yeah. You know that guy? And he just announced something over the weekend.
Right.
And I'm not here to be political, so... I'm here to inform, really. The Attorney General's office has a number of functions, okay? Let me name some of those functions, and some of them perhaps can be of service to you. There's a number of bureaus within the Attorney General's office. One is the Environmental Protection Bureau, so if you see the water being polluted, the air being polluted, the ground being polluted, give us a call, and we'll refer you to the Attorney General's Environmental Protection Bureau. If anybody thinks they've been, screwed by their broker, because of an investment that you have made. The Attorney General has an Investor Protection Bureau, and that bureau has been very, very active lately. As you might remember, under the former Attorney General, who might that have been? Elliot Spitzer, yeah. It was also very active, and Elliot Spitzer went after Merrill Lynch, for instance, and Elliot Spitzer got a lot of compliments and some criticism about what he did with Wall Street firms. Went after Merrill Lynch, for instance. Anybody know what Merrill Lynch was doing wrong? Anybody? They had a conflict of interest. So Merrill Lynch has a couple of different businesses. Number one is selling the stock of corporations. Corporations comes out with stock, and Merrill Lynch will sell it to investors. They also, of course, recommend stocks to people, to you and I. And the problem was is that there was a conflict of interest. So let's say they were selling stock of IBM, and I worked for IBM for a number of years. I don't want to tell you who the corporation is, so I'll just give you the initial, which was IBM. So Merrill Lynch came out, there's three recommendations that they could come out with, right? A hold, a sell, or a buy, right, to you and I as investors. What do you think most of their recommendations were?
Buy,
of course.
Yeah.
Now, they were never hold, because they don't make any money on hold, right? A few recommendations were sell, but something like 90-95% of all the recommendations were buy recommendations. Why was that? Because they had a conflict of interest. And if they recommended a sell, the management of that company would not be very happy and would not do business with Merrill Lynch.
So most of the recommendations were recommendations, and Spitzer signed an agreement for $500 million for recovery of New York State residents that were scammed, and for penalties and costs to the Attorney General's office, which really goes to New York State and to New York State coffers. And he was criticized. He says, why only $500 million? Merrill Lynch is a multi-billion dollar corporation. And his take, and it's the kind of the take that we have also in our office, all our resources are limited. The county's resources are limited, and they're laying off people. The state is laying off people, and Patterson recommended a one-day-a-week furlough, which is now going to go before a judge, I think tomorrow it is. So, you know, every government resources are limited, and so that's number one. When you go to court, when you sue a company, resources are taken, limited resources, scarce resources are taken. It takes a long time, and when all is said and done at the end of the day, when the verdict comes out, either from a jury trial or just a judge, the state may lose the case, right? So what he says was, we'd rather get Merrill Lynch to change their practices, to give restitution to New York State residents, to pay penalties and costs in New York State, and that should be fine. In addition, what he said was, Merrill Lynch is a New York State corporation employing tens of thousands of New York State residents. We don't want to put them out of business, but we want them to be better folks, okay? So that agreement was signed. And we kind of have the same philosophy in our office. Our resources are very, very limited. We can't legally go after every company, every bad company. So what we do is we pick and choose. We pick and choose those cases that involve the most money, the most citizens, and where we think we have a winnable case. So often, we'll get a call from a resident, and they'll say, I want you to sue they sometimes use some initials, SO, and you can fill in the last letter, and I want you to represent me, okay? Number one, we don't represent individual citizens of New York State. If we go to court, if we litigate, the papers say, the New York State Attorney General's office on behalf of the people of New York State versus whatever company it might be. It doesn't say you, or you. Although if we get restitution, it will be distributed among those people that have been scammed. You know, so often we'll get a call, I want you to represent me. We don't represent individual people. And by the way, we cannot go to court on an individual case anyway. There has to be a pattern and practice of fraud or deception, okay, which means many cases, many complaints that we see. So one of the things I want to leave with you, if you have a complaint, even though you think it's not so big, come and see us or write to us. We have a complaint form that you can fill out. And while you individually may be a small case, if we compile a lot of different complaints from a lot of different citizens, there may be grounds for some action. Okay, so don't think just because you're small potatoes that we will ignore you, because we won't. And then, again, if we see it's part of a pattern and practice of fraud, we may legally go after the company, or we may just try to recover for you and get that company to change their ways. Okay, so I was talking about the Attorney General's bureaus, some of which, again, might be able to serve you. There's a Public Integrity Bureau, and Legislator Spratman, I know, has never been involved with that bureau, because what they go after is wrongdoing on the part of government officials, right? So again, I mean, you know, if you see there's some kind of fraud or corruption going on the part of a government official, that agency may investigate that situation, okay? We have a healthcare bureau that gets involved with problems with hospitals, doctors, HMOs, insurance companies, all right? So they're very active these days as well. We have an internet bureau. How many of you all shop on the internet? Okay, so a little bunch of you, right? That's becoming a bigger and bigger business these days, and there's a separate internet bureau with people that have expertise on internet matters, and if you buy something on the internet, you think you've been scammed on the internet, write us a complaint and we'll forward to the Attorney General's internet bureau. So there's a lot of different bureaus that are involved here. In our office at 101 East Post Road, it's kind of an interesting place. Part of it is made up of the Attorney General's Organized Crime Task Force. And you've been involved with them. They go after money laundering schemes and drug cartels and terrorist kinds of organizations. So those guys run around the building with suitcases full of drugs and money, counterfeit money and guns and all that kind of thing. So hopefully none of you have been involved with that organization. Another part of our building what they call the state council. We are the state's attorneys. So we represent New York State. If you are traveling along the Taconic State Parkway, which is a state road, and you get into an accident, and you, I'm not putting any ideas in your head, hopefully, you get into an accident and you think the state is at fault. Because there's a pothole, there's ice on the road that should have been cleared. We had a situation on the Sawmill River Parkway, which goes back a few months, in which a tree, this is a tragic situation, a tree fell on this minivan. And the setup was the husband father was in the first seat, there were two kids in the second seat, and the wife mother was in the third seat. The tree had a V, it's unbelievable, the tree had a V in it. The tree comes down, it kills the father, husband in the first seat, the mother, wife in the third seat, and spares the two kids in the second seat. Okay? So the estate of these parents is now suing the state because they say the tree should have been taken down. It was either half dead or all dead. Okay? And these kinds of lawsuits, as you might know, you know, involve millions and millions of dollars. Okay? And we have to defend all lawsuits that are brought, all claims that are brought against the state. We cover three counties, by the way, Westchester, Putnam, and Rockland counties. So there's a facility over in Rockland County called Rockland Psychiatric. We have a lot of lawsuits from those people, either people that are in the facility and want to get out, or people that are out and want to get back in. You know, you can't please some people. We have a lot of lawsuits from prisoners. We cover Sing Sing. Any of you have been to Sing Sing for any reason?
We visited it.
You visited, yeah.
No, of course.
That's
when you did your time.
No, but let me ask you. We also cover the Bedford Women's Correctional Facility. And the
well, my daughter-in-law is a probation officer, so some of these things I know about.
Okay, right. Yeah, right, probational. But did you have to stay there 24/7? Okay, so there are a lot of lawsuits from prisoners, most of which are frivolous. Okay, a lot of which are brought pro se without an attorney. Some of these people are very, very smart. You know, I go to Sing Sing once in a while, and it's really a depressing place. Number one, they have a gym that's about four times the size of this room here, and you see all these guys pumping iron, you know, so they can become stronger. So when they get out, they can become more adept at assaulting you, you know, if they're not reformed, you know. But probably the most depressing thing is their law library is bigger than our law library. So you have a lot of smart people in these facilities with a lot of time on their hands, and they'll go through law books trying to figure out how to sue the state. Now, I'm not saying all the lawsuits are frivolous, but a lot of them are, and they have to be defended by our organization. We're the state's attorneys. Probably the most frivolous lawsuit is, you probably know, Metro North, the Hudson Division, goes right through the middle of Sing Sing, I mean, right through the middle of it. So this prisoner sued the state because the 6:45 train in the morning was waking him up. So he had, you know, people going to work in New York City, you know, and he's suing the state. You know. So, you know, some of it is just kind of sad.
Earplugs.
Yeah, it was a bit, you know. Okay, so, but what I run is a Consumer Fraud and Protection Bureau. Okay, so what do we all do? Well, we give talks like this, and I love to do this kind of thing, because we believe in, I got some dynamite prizes here. We used to give out dinner tickets to that restaurant across the street. What's the name of it?
Molino's,
yeah, but times are tough, you know. $9 billion budget deficit.
I'll take it.
So we have to substitute. So we believe in caveat emptor. So what does that mean?
What? Buyer beware.
Oh, good. My first prize. By the way, if I throw it and I hit you in the head, you can sue the state. Okay, so these are refrigerated magnets. If you don't have a refrigerator, don't take one. Okay, so and we believe in let the buyer beware. You know, the more we can inform you, the more you know about your rights, the more you know what kinds of questions to ask, the more you know about what to look for in a contract, the better off you are. And we have a bunch of brochures. I was going to lay them out here, but time got a little late. So if you want to lay them out afterwards, and you know, there's probably 100 different brochures, and I think some of which you'd be real interested in. But giving talks to senior citizen groups, Rotary clubs, Lions, we go to libraries, we go to county fairs. We used to go to Yonkers County Fair, remember that one?
Yeah.
At the Raceway, yeah, that used to be a biggie, really. So we sometimes go on the radio, on cable TV, and that kind of thing to inform the public. What we also do that hopefully will be of interest to you is we actually pick up the phone with a live person, you know, a live, usually. I have 7 senior citizen volunteers that volunteer for me, and they're just tremendous people. I could not run my unit without them. And what's so good about them is they have empathy and sympathy for people. They've been around the block a few times. And you know, they have life experience, which, you know, a snot-nosed kid who's 21 years old, just come out of college, doesn't have that kind of experience. They never talk to people. You know, oftentimes we'll get people that call up, even that write in, they'll go on and on and on and on, you know. So these people know how to get to the heart of the problem, and what do you want? Why actually are you calling? How would you like your complaint to be resolved? You know, I've got people, I have a guy who had a butcher shop on the Upper West Side, you know, and he freely admits he used to keep his finger on the scale every once in a while, and when the chop meat turned green, he used to throw red dye in it, and when the chicken turned a strange color, he used to wash it off with Clorox, you know.
Oh my.
But his defense, by the way, is nobody ever got sick, you know. So he knows he's closer to the end, and he's going to meet St. Peter or somebody, you know, and he wants to make amends, he wants to help people. I've got another guy who was a dentist in Yonkers, and he had so many malpractice suits against him. He went to law school, went to Pace Law School to pick up a degree, law degree, so he could defend his malpractice suits. So, but this is all a former life. Now they're in a new life, you know, and they really try to help people. You know, I love these people. They're just wonderful. So I've got a couple of teachers, engineers, and you know, different kinds of people, and they will actually help you over the phone where they can. And they will sometimes tell you where to go. They do it nicely, though. No, sometimes they'll direct you to another organization that can better help you. For instance, if you have a contractor complaint, we'll refer you to Westchester County Consumer Protection around the corner.
Right.
Because they license contractors, they can call a contractor in for a hearing, they can pull his license, they can fine him. If we want to go after legally after a contractor, it might take a long time. So they have jurisdiction over contractors, and we leave that to them. Conversely, they'll send complaints over to us. So we work very closely together right across the street from each other. So they sometimes just throw complaints across the street. Hopefully we get them all. So, you know, we kind of complement each other. But, you know, if you have a complaint about your car insurance, your property insurance, we'll send it to the New York State Department of Insurance. That's their jurisdiction. That's what they do. They have expertise. If you have a complaint about a car repair shop, as long as your complaint is within 90 days, we'll send you to DMV. If you have a complaint about an odometer reading, title, registration, license, we'll send you to DMV. That's what they do. If you have a complaint about your bank, anybody ever complain about their bank? I went to my bank this morning and I'm worried. It's now a nail salon, you know? a little worrisome. And the ATM machine was still out there. So, you know, the ATM machine, you like my nails though? I got a pedicure too, I can show you. So there's an ATM machine, you know, so I put in my ATM card, and out came an IOU. You know, not so good.
John, huh? Did you get many complaints about the Toyota Crisis?
Yeah, we did. And just to switch subjects a little bit, remind me, I have to go back to the nail salon thing.
Okay.
The Attorney General Cuomo has filed and won a number of major lawsuits lately. One of them was against Toyota. And what he did, this goes back now about 2 or 3 months, I think, he got them to agree that anybody that had a Toyota that was on the hit list could get free transportation until that car was fixed. Okay? That is going to cost Toyota millions, this is for New York State residents, millions and millions of dollars, because there are many Toyotas in this state, and many of them were affected by the Toyota recall. So, it's the kind of stuff he has done. By the way, he's done a number of other things. Student loans, I don't know if you've heard about that, but, you know, college students are all stupid, right? I mean, they're all so naive, right? You know, so the problem was when they went to the college finance officer to get the best deal on a college loan, what do you think sometimes happened? Who got the best deal?
The college
and or the loan officer, because they were oftentimes kickbacks, okay, either the college or to the loan officer. A law was passed that that could not happen, that all the facts had to be revealed to the college students, that they had to get the best deal, not the college or the college loan office. Okay? He just signed an agreement with Abbott Labs that they competed unfairly with generic drugs and therefore boosted the cost of drugs to New Yorkers. The local office here, we're investigating. We're just about to, in fact, we did sign an agreement last week with a company called SAS. Anybody know who SAS is?
Sure.
No, it's not Scandinavian Airlines either. SAS, anybody know the Awesome Auger and the Samurai Sword? Anybody know Billy Mays?
Yeah.
Okay. If you watch infomercials, right?
But he's dead now.
He is dead now, yeah. SAS on infomercials would pitch all these products. Okay, this is something you want to watch out for. They pitched this thing called a samurai sword and awesome auger, which dug you in the ground and stuff like that. And what is the deal whenever you see an infomercial? Okay, you buy the samurai sword for $9.99, then what is said?
Buy right now,
and you get another one for free. It's always like that, right? So the deal was, you got two of these, supposedly for $9.99, but what did they not disclose? At least so anybody could read it or hear it. Ah, ooh, good. Okay, ready? Are you ready?
Oh, I can't.
Did anyone?
Oh, don't throw it.
Okay, so so what happened was, you paid $9.99 for this samurai sword, you got this freebie, okay, but then you had to pay S&H, not just on the one you paid for, but on the freebie as well. So now you paid $30 for these two things. You got them in the mail, and they were generally, at least in this particular case, a piece of, let me use my French, garbage.
Garbage,
right? So then you tried to send it back. And what's the deal there? You've got to pay S&H to send both of these back. And the S&H that you paid was not recoverable. All right? So to send it back, it probably cost you $50 altogether for the whole deal. So we thought that was deceptive. And occasionally they would put the S&H on the screen, but it was either so small that you couldn't read it. But even if you could read it, it flashed across the screen so quickly that you couldn't read it anyway. So we found that that was deceptive. We are in the process of, we're investigating right now, and let me see a show of hands. How many of you have gotten involved with a company called Great Date Now, or Meet Over Drinks? It's a dating service. Okay? Okay, you don't have to admit it.
Matt Harmony, Match.com.
Yeah, this is, we're not going to... So this is a company that really violated the law by requiring too much money up front, number one. And number two, they didn't fulfill the terms and conditions of the contract as far as providing, dates for people. And here, they were taking advantage of people that are very vulnerable. A lot of lonely people that want to, get some friends. So we're in the process of litigating them, okay? Sometimes the problem, though, is when we try to litigate, the company disappears. So we can go after, the owners personally, but sometimes the assets are very well hidden. So that becomes a troublesome situation. The Attorney General just a few months ago went after sewer service. Anybody know what a sewer server is? It's not somebody that cleans the sewer. Yeah, it's a process server. It's somebody that, if let's say a debt collector, these were debt collectors for the most part, wants to legally serve a debtor, and they have set up a court appearance for that debtor to try to collect some money from that debtor, they will serve papers to that debtor. So they would employ these process servers. But anybody know? Do you know what the deal was with these process servers?
They got a percentage.
Well, yeah, and that's okay. But what they didn't do oftentimes was actually serve the debtor. And it was to the benefit of the process server, and it was to the benefit of the collection company that went on. Why? If they didn't serve, number one, if they didn't serve the debtor, it was easy on them, right? They didn't have to go out and try to find somebody. And number two, if they didn't serve the debtor would not show up in court, right, right. And the debt collector would automatically win the case.
Right, right.
You know, mm-hmm. So it was a win-win situation for those two parties, but it was a losing situation for the debtor. Okay, so he went after a number of those debt collection companies and process service. He also went after debt collection companies. You know, they can be rough people, you know, and a lot of them are legitimate, and they serve a, you know, a purpose. But he found that a lot of the debt collection companies violated the law in that they would threaten people. They would threaten to take them to court when they had no intention of taking them to court. They would feign that they were attorneys. They would call employers and neighbors, and you're allowed to call an employer or neighbor, but you're not allowed to reveal why you're calling them. You can call an employer or a neighbor to establish that a person lives at a particular place or works for a particular company, but you can't reveal what the nature of the call is, okay? And they were violating that. They were harassing people by calling them hourly, and they're only allowed to call, keep this in mind if you there's a collection company after you, between 8 a.m. and 9 p.m., but they can do it 7 days a week. Okay, Sunday's no day of rest for collection companies, right? But they can't call you hourly. Okay, that's considered to be harassment. So they were violating, you know, the Fair Debt Collection law. And so the Attorney General went after them. So he and we locally have gone after a number of different people, and hopefully, you know, that sets an example for others that might consider the same kind of action. All right, and again, we not only collect for the people that have been scammed, but we also collect for the state of New York. Okay, so let me tell you what happens. What happens as far as mediation of a complaint? Let's say you have a complaint against Macy's, and Macy's is a good company, so I'm just using Macy's as an example, and they're good people. If you have a complaint against Macy's, what we would like you to do is write that complaint down. If you want, you can do it on your own stationery. We prefer that you put it on our complaint form because it has all the information that we need on that complaint form. We don't have to return it or call you up. So if you bought, you know, a coat from Macy's and only has one arm and, you know, you've got two arms, so it's not so good. But the first thing we require you to do is try to resolve that complaint by yourself, okay? Most companies will talk to you, will try to resolve a complaint, most reputable companies, so they'll give you a refund, they'll give you a replacement product, or they'll fix the product, whatever it might be. So we will require you to do that first. If you have done that, and you haven't gotten any resolution out of the deal, send the complaint into us. Now, we require most of the time for the complaint to be in writing. Unless it's an emergency kind of situation, if your car has just been repossessed wrongly, you know, we'll get into that situation immediately. If you've been evicted illegally from your apartment, we'll try to get involved in that situation immediately. But generally, you want the complaint in writing. Why? We don't want to paraphrase. We don't want to put words in your mouth. We want your words on a piece of paper. So we understand them, number one. And number two, we are going to send that piece of paper to the merchant and ask them to respond. And most of the time, we get a response back. If not, we have a 300-pound investigator that works for us. And we send them on a little cordial visit, you know? And I'm not sure what all happens at that visit, but we will get a response then, okay? So what will the response be then? The response will be, yeah, I did wrong by the consumer. I'll give a refund, I'll fix the product or replacement product, whatever it might be, and then everything's cool. We'll tell the consumer that's what happened, and hopefully the case is closed, okay? So that's an easy one. Sometimes I'll get a response back. Now, I wasn't there when the transaction took place. And by the way, I look at every complaint that we close and that we open, by the way, also. And it will appear to me, based on what the consumer has told me, based on the paperwork he has sent to me, based on what the merchant has told me, based on the paperwork that the merchant has sent me, that the consumer is wrong. Okay, in that case, I'll tell the consumer, hey, we can't do anything else for you. We are a mediation service, by the way. Unless we decide to go to court. You know, and generally on a onesie kind of complaint, we won't go to court. Unless it's so egregious, and again, we have a pattern of practice of fraud or deception. I'll tell the consumer, hey, see if you can find a friendly judge in White Plains, in Small Claims Court, and see if you can get a judge to see you go away. okay, but we can't do anything further for you. I enjoy the type of complaint, though, where I see that what appears to me that the merchant has taken advantage of a consumer. Maybe a elderly consumer whose eyesight may not be so good, whose hearing might not be so good, who might be too trustworthy. Why? Because you come from a different era and you trust people. So in that kind of situation, I can put some pressure on that merchant to do right by the consumer. And it doesn't always work, but it works a lot of the time. So if you think that that has happened to you, send the complaint in to us. Okay, and we'll see what we can do. And I can't promise you that we'll have success, but hopefully we will. I also enjoy the kind of complaint where I can't tell who's right and who's wrong here, or where the merchant has taken advantage again of a consumer, and where I might not be able to get full restitution for the consumer, but I can get both the consumer and the merchant. I'm going to have to take that away immediately. I can get the consumer and the merchant to meet halfway. So I think I've performed a service when neither the consumer nor the merchant are happy because they've negotiated, you know, halfway. But we've achieved something here. Okay? So what I urge you to do is if you have a complaint, call us up and see whether we're the best people to handle that complaint. Generally, you'll get a person on the other end. If you don't, we will call you back for sure. There'll be a live person that will call you back within 24 hours. And we'll advise you where to go, or we'll advise you to send a complaint in to us, and we'll see what we can do. Okay? So, okay. Let's talk for a few minutes about the scams du jour. Right? What does that mean?
Today.
Scams of the day. You know, you heard of soup du jour, this is scams du jour. And it changes often, and some of the scams, you know, the scams seem to have to do with the letter C, for some reason, you know? So we get a lot of complaints about credit cards, about collection companies, about cars, about charities, those kinds of situations. Let's talk about charities. Haiti, which happened in January. I was in Haiti last month, and it's a god-awful situation. It's just a terrible situation. Almost, you think there's not enough money in the world to help these people, and the government is dysfunctional or non-existent. So, you know, a lot of people feel very sorry for Haiti, and then we had Chile afterwards. And you want to contribute. When you contribute to any charity, and a lot of people are very charitable, have a good heart, particularly senior citizens, okay, because right. You all have a lot of money to give out, right?
No.
Right? No? Who said no? And there are scamsters out there that know this. So what do you want to do? And the Attorney General, by the way, has a charity bureau. The Charities Bureau publishes statements for each charity, registers charities, goes after bad charities, and recovers money for citizens of New York that have given to bad charities. But what do you want to know? Okay, number one, make sure that when you're donating to a charity, that the charity that you think you're donating to is the charity that you are donating to. Seems kind of simple, doesn't it? But a lot of fraudulent organizations will set up and will get a name that sounds a lot like a reputable charity. Okay? So, for instance, the Cancer Society of America may not be the same as the, you know, American Cancer Society. I'm just using that as an example. Okay? So make sure you're donating to the right organization. When you donate, or when you pick a charity, a couple of things you want to know. Number one, if somebody calls you up on the phone, it is oftentimes a telemarketer that works for that charity. Find out, and we have a book that gives you this information. You can go online and find out this information. What do you want to find out? How much is the telemarketer getting out of your dollar versus the charity? And oftentimes, not oftentimes, but sometimes that number is 70, 80, 90, 100, 110%. So when the deal is 110%, you're giving a dollar. Not only does the telemarketer get your dollar, but he also gets another 10 cents from the charity for making this call. You don't want to donate to a charity like that, okay? Number two, and by the way, there's a place for telemarketers. You know, they perform a useful service, but you don't want them getting most of your dollar, all right? Another important thing that you want to know is, out of your dollar to the charity, even forgetting about telemarketers, how much is actually going to the victims or the programs that charity runs versus the executives and the rent and that kind of thing. Now, every charity has executives. Most charities have to pay rent. But you don't want 70% of your dollar going to those expenses. 75% of your dollar, at least, should go to cancer victims or cancer research and that kind of thing. And at most, 25% should go to overhead and executives and those kinds of things. So be careful about that. Never give cash or make the check out to cash. You know, unless you're buying Girl Scout cookies, you know, give cash there, I guess. Or, you know, the bell ringer, Salvation Army and the A&P, whatever, you can drop cash in that bucket. But generally don't give cash. Okay, that can be a problem. If somebody comes to your door, make sure you ask them for identification. Make sure you do that. Don't fall for emotional appeals. Don't fall, whatever kind of transaction you're going to engage in. Whether you're going to buy a car, you know, and you want this red convertible Corvette, right? Because Bernice, she likes to drive 100 miles an hour.
Absolutely.
The wind blowing in her hair.
Never.
Unfortunately, those red cars, you tend to pick up cops, right? Yeah. And of course the auto dealer will say, hey, that's the last car we have at this price. You know, don't fall for that kind of stuff, right? By the way, whenever you go on a test drive, it's the kiss of death. You go on a test drive, you most likely will buy the car. Statistics show that, okay? So don't fall for this kind of thing. In the case of charities, don't get emotional. We had a case in Northern Westchester, Putnam County, where a lot of people were getting a call from PBA. You got one?
That's my area.
That's your area?
My wife is a sucker.
No, is that your wife?
No, man, his wife is Bernice.
Oh, your wife Bernice? Oh, well, sucker. Wow, you were narrowly discord right in this room.
Right in this room.
Do you want to respond, Bernice, to this?
No.
Police officers at all.
Huh?
Later.
Well, some of later.
Why do you go through that to raise money?
Well, sometimes they're legit. So what you want to do is call up your local police department, ask whether they are legit. Where do you guys live?
Yonkers.
Yonkers. Okay. But it happens all over. In the case of this case, they were actually collecting for the orphans and the widows and the widowers of police officers that have been killed, and people thought that was a good cause, and a lot of people donated. What they didn't reveal. What they did, I laugh, but it's kind of sad, is that they were in Ohio, and they were collecting for the families in Ohio. Now, that's okay if you're in Putnam County and you want to donate to families in Ohio, but at least you ought to know that that's what you're doing. Okay? So be careful about that. By the way, what's the definition of a free gift? It is free, or it should be free. So, around Christmas time, when you get the little religious medal in the mail, or you get the return envelope stickers, or the holiday cards,
yes,
don't feel obligated to contribute to that charity. Now, if you feel that charity is a worthy charity, contribute. But don't contribute just because you got this stuff in the mail, and you don't have to return it. Whenever you get something in the mail that you did not order, you do not have to return it,
Right.
Yeah.
Books. But they send out all these organizations that send out all this, like a computer or a calculator. If they didn't send out half of that stuff to the people, I think they'd have money for their organizations.
Well, look, they're sending out for a reason, and they've gone through that business case, and they're going to make money on that deal.
I had a phone call the other day from an oil drilling company that wanted me to invest $25,000 and receive a $75,000 return on my money. I said to the man, I don't have that kind of money.
Let me finish this one for you. If it's too good to be true,
it is too good.
Who said that first? At least I heard, because she's in the expensive seats. I can't hear the cheap seats. You know, it's funny because a few months ago now, this guy came into my office. And one of the great things about this job is, number one, I can help a whole lot of people. Not everybody, and that's sometimes frustrating, but a whole lot of people. So this guy comes into my office and he says, I want you to help me. Like, okay, how can we help you? Just kind of what comment you just made. I've discovered oil. I said, where? Not in the Gulf, right? Not in the Gulf. I discovered oil under the gallery and wall.
Oh, really?
And I want you to help me get royalties on that oil. All right, we'll dig up the whole Galleria Mall to get you that oil. You know, so you know, some people are kind of delusional. I get a lot of funny calls like that. I got a call from this lady, and she said, "Well, I live in Chappaqua. Okay, how can I help you? Well, can I distribute my husband's ashes over Chappaqua?" So I said, number one, is this Hillary Clinton? Might have wanted to do that. So then she said no. So then I asked, is your husband dead? Because I don't want to get married. You know, so some questions I just can't answer, by the way. So, but I, you know. So I, you know, I referred her to the Department of Health. I don't know what the rules are, and to the local jurisdiction in Chappaqua. So I do get some funny situations, I really do. I get some kind of hairy situations. The last time Bush was inaugurated, Bush Jr., this guy comes into my office and he says, day before, he says, I know for sure that George Bush is going to be assassinated at the inauguration. So I'm thinking, ew, I didn't vote for Bush, so what should I do? So, you know, I called up Secret Services, is right here in White Plains, so I called them up, and they came over, took the guy away, and George Bush was not assassinated, so I guess I did a good thing here, you know?
I don't know.
I don't know, I don't want any political...
So, John, yeah. You didn't get to it. Not before, I don't know how much time we have. I just want to ask you something.
Yeah, sure.
There's a lot of discrepancy, a lot on prescription drug prices. Ridiculous, okay? You could say $45 on one and another. I mean, are you getting a lot of calls?
Oh, we do get some. We refer those to our healthcare bureau, but the Attorney General has a website, which is on these magnets, by the way, which I'll give you all that later, which allows you to put in your zip code, and it gives you, for the most common drugs, what the prices are. We've actually seen this as volunteers that go into drugstores and get the prices, let's say, on Lipitor, et cetera. And you can see what the prices are in your area for various drugs. Now, drugs are not, they're not price controlled. You know, they can charge whatever they want. So it's up to you to shop around, and if you can use a generic drug, get a generic drug, go to your doctor, make sure he writes a prescription for a generic drug, if it's the same as the as a name brand
But
drug.
Even generic drugs are also, like, you gotta be careful.
You gotta be very careful.
$20 difference, $30 difference.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, drugs, gas, you gotta shop around. Most products now have been deregulated, which means it's a capitalist system, you know. They can charge whatever they want, and hopefully, you know, you can find a company that sells them cheaper, or a gas station that is cheaper. I mean, that's kind of the deal. Yeah, absolutely.
And then by mail order, you can get 90, and in the drugstore, you can only get 30, and
I mean, you have to, you know, if you think there's something wrong here, I mean, the Bernese can't do anything about it. You probably have to write either to your state or your state senator, your assembly person. Or it's probably really a federal kind of issue. So you got to write to your federal representatives or to your federal senators, right?
Right.
To get the law changed. Yeah. We often get that. We've gotten a lot of complaints about gas prices. Well, we don't, and the government doesn't control gas prices. All right? Now, they can't deceptively advertise the gas price. I mean, that they can't do, but they can charge whatever they want. We often get complaints about rent. Okay, my landlord has increased my rent 10%. Is that okay? Well, it's not okay if it's a rent-controlled or rent-stabilized apartment, but if it's not, he can increase your rent 100%.
Right.
As long as your lease is over. Right? He can do that. Unfortunately, it's not controlled. So keep that in mind. Getting back again to charities, you know, if you are donating to Haiti, by the way, don't donate to the government of Haiti. If you're donating to the American Red Cross, for instance, and you want it to go to Haiti, say on your check, this is designated for Haiti. Okay? Don't donate to a new charity, a fly-by-night charity that just was set up to do good work in Haiti. You want to donate to a charity that has experience in that particular area, and that's been around for a while. Let me show you some other scams du jour. Here's the mystery shopper, which pays you, allegedly, $400 every time you go into Walmart or McDonald's, Old Navy, okay, and you report on how your service was, how they treated you in that particular store. The deal here, though, is, and it's a scam, okay, you have to buy materials which cost you about $2,000 up front. Don't fall for this kind of thing. If it's too good to be true, it probably is. How many of you gotten a phony check in the mail? Okay, yeah. Okay, this one is actually drawn on Wells Fargo Bank in Lewiston, Montana. I don't even know where Montana is. It's out there somewhere. And it looks so legit. Okay, and the deal here is, and they got a real official letter with this, don't fall for this kind of stuff. Every day we get people calling us that have fallen for this kind of deal. You've won $125,000 lottery.
Yeah.
You know the old lottery?
Yeah.
Here's a check for, this one was for about $4,800. What they're telling you is you deposit this check in your bank account. And oftentimes you can do that if you don't have a sharp teller. So you'll go to your bank, Chase, whatever it is, you'll deposit this in your account, you'll see the credit in your account. And then what's asking you to do is go to Western Union and get a cash gram for, in this case, $3,800. And you send a cash gram to where of all places? Usually Canada, sometimes Spain, you know.
Nigeria,
the Nigerian scam, yeah. Sometimes Jamaica. In fact, I got a Nigerian one right here. And it's a scam. We've tried to work with the Canadian Royal Mounted Police, but they don't care about Americans getting scammed, you know. So, you know, we've worked with, remember Jeanette McDonald and Nelson Eddy?
Calling you!
Keep my day job here. But they don't care. Okay, so if you send this money via cash gram, it is gone. You send it to a post office box. These people change their P.O. box every day. You cannot find these people. So what will happen is you'll put this check in the bank, $4,800. You spent $3,800. You think, well, everything's cool. If nothing else happens, if I don't win the $125,000, I'm still to the good $1,000. Because 3 or 4 days from now, what will happen?
Bouncy,
yeah. Like a Spalding. Remember Spalding from your
Yeah.
Paintball? Don't, you know, if it's too good to be true, it ain't true.
We had a senior that happened to, and the bank teller, was suspicious, and the manager came out.
Absolutely.
And sat her down and put a kibosh on the whole thing.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a bank that you want to do business with,
mm-hmm.
Okay? A bank that will look out for your benefit, right? And it's sharp enough to catch that kind of thing. Here's one from Nigeria, right on cue, right?
Mm-hmm.
Could have waited about 30 seconds, but okay. I told you to wait 30 seconds. Okay, this is from, and this looks so official, it's from the desk of Prince Uba Timothy. Now, the deal with Prince Uba Timothy is he was deposed as a Nigerian finance minister. Now, generally, when you get deposed as a finance minister, any kind of minister in Nigeria, you don't live to tell about it. But he was deposed, lived to tell about it, and somehow he wound up with $80 million in his bank account. Lucky him. Yeah, he's very well paid. And now he needs to get out of the country. And you've been identified as a very reputable person, and he's asking you for your bank account so he can send this money to the bank account, and he'll split it 50-50.
Yeah, right.
Here's one from, this one is from the estate of Saddam Hussein. Same kind of deal. So, you know, if it's too good to be true, don't fall for it, okay? It is a sham. Yeah.
Hello?
Mr. Spreckman, yes.
Yes, in Florida.
Is he allowed to talk?
Yeah, he's allowed.
Well, it's very big there now for these veterans of some kind of war, Vietnam, and they're dressed in army uniform, big people, and
they get
soliciting on the highways.
Right.
And 98% vacate, and these people are not veterans, never war, and the Attorney General's office was cracking down on them. Because it's very big. All highways, and they, and people,
absolutely.
And the
president,
right? Are we getting any up here?
I haven't seen any of those kinds of complaints. They may actually go directly to our charities bureau for them to handle. By the way, Florida is a big.
They do call on the phone, and I'll tell them to write me a letter or something.
You can do that. Ask the documentation, and then check with the Attorney General. Don't give him any money. Check with the Attorney General to see whether this is
a crackdown in Florida on that. You know, they're on the highway,
They stand on the median.
Most people give.
Yeah. Sometimes, by the way, you see firemen collecting on the road. They stop traffic, I think those people are legit for the most part.
No, these people aren't legit.
They're not legit.
Yeah, what he's talking about is they stand on the medians.
On I-95 or something?
Well, on any of the major roadways. And they have their flags and they have their camouflage uniforms on.
Yeah. They actually give out a little flower or something.
Yeah.
And I think they're better shape than I am, so I know.
No, but they do this right here in Westchester, carry on parades. These guys come in from Connecticut, they got a plain khaki hat on.
Right, that's
long khaki clothes. They go around with little American flags like this, fucking dollars and.
And don't fall for it. I mean, you know, donating to veterans is a worthy cause, but you want to make sure that you're donating to veterans.
Absolutely. Vietnam vets were trying to get them out of the town when they came there.
Yeah.
What about the poppies?
Yeah. I mean, most of them.
That's legit, right?
Well, I can't say 100% they're legit, really. Okay, let's talk a little bit about identity theft. That's another scam du jour that you ought to be careful of. A couple of cartoons I have here. These two people talking, and one of the people says to the other one, "I stole the identity of some guy who was in debt, and now they're hounding me to pay his bill." That's a good one, right? And here, two guys are sitting at a bar, and one guy says to the other, other guy at the bar, "She left me for the guy who stole my identity." I lost his identity and his wife. Second, it may have been a good thing for the guy. Okay, so you cannot prevent identity theft, but you can reduce your exposure to identity theft. So what you want to do when you think about identity theft, you think of three things. You want to deter it as much as possible, and you're not going to prevent it 100%. You want to detect it when it happens as soon as possible. And you want to defend yourself. When it does happen, do something about it. Okay, so what is identity theft? You know, somebody steals a piece of your identity. Your social security number, your credit card number, your bank account number, and I know you're all big investors, your investor number, you know, cleans out your stock account, whatever it might be. And people do that. They buy in your name, they get arrested in your name, they declare bankruptcy in your name, they get a license in your name, they get a passport in your name. All that is identity theft, and it all happens, okay? So, you know, it happens to about 10 million people every year. And the big problem, by the way, is not a financial problem, because generally you can recover all the money you've lost, but the big problem is trying to recover your identity. And sometimes that will take months and months and a lot of paperwork, and you think it's all said and done, it's over, and a year from now, it'll pop up again. Okay? So keep that in mind. So what do you want to do? There's an old saying, just because somebody is friendly to you, somebody finish this one for me, does not mean...
He's a friend.
Ah! Mm-hmm. Or she. Gender neutral here, right? Okay. Oftentimes somebody will call you up on the phone. It can be a telemarketer, it can be a charitable solicitor, and they'll ask you, you know, call you up at 6 o'clock at night, of course, or while you're eating dinner. Then you ought to do the Seinfeld thing. You know, I'm eating dinner right now, can you give me your number and I'll call you at home? You know, and usually you don't get that, right? And they'll ask you, how's the family? How's the weather? Da, da, da. They don't care about your family. They don't care about the weather. They care about getting your money. That's the only thing they care about. So don't fall for the friendly business. And try as much as possible not to give out personal information over the phone. Now, sometimes that's unavoidable. If you buy something through the mail, they will ask, and you use a credit card. By the way, how should you pay? What's the best way of paying for stuff that you buy over the mail, internet?
Credit card.
Let's see a show of hands here. Credit card? Okay, what else? What are the other ways?
PayPal.
Check or cash
PayPal.
Or debit card?
PayPal.
Right? PayPal. PayPal's a good one, right? So credit card is good. PayPal is good. What's the matter with a debit card?
Oh, they have your bank
account.
The money is gone.
It's gone.
Okay? The best way, by the way, is COD, but most companies won't do business that way. So when you get the stuff, you look at it, you see whether it's what you want, da, 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 and then you pay. But most companies won't ship that way. What's the problem with a check? They have your bank account number. You will not be able to stop payment on that check. Let's say the product is defective, you don't get it. They will cash that check before that ever happens. So a check is not so good. A credit card is probably the best. Now, let's talk a minute about credit cards versus debit cards. How many of you use debit cards? I'm going to have to throw something at you. I'm going to have to... Huh?
Not for that.
Bernice, why is your husband using a debit card? Do you know about this?
No.
Well, just to cash checks.
Oh, okay, just to cash checks. That's okay. Okay, as long as it doesn't cost you so much. Okay. The reasons you should use a debit card is to cash checks if you want. Or if you cannot get a credit card, because your credit is so lousy? Is that his problem?
No. That's what he tells me.
Or, this might be his problem though, or you don't have the discipline to pay off that credit card bill when it comes due. Then use a debit card, because it comes out of your account immediately. Why should you use a credit card? Number one, you got free use of that cash for 30, 45, sometimes 60 days. You get frequent flyer points. You sometimes get a rebate. You have a record of that transaction. If the product doesn't show up or it's defective, you can appeal to your credit card company. They will investigate, and they might reverse it for you. There's oftentimes a warranty with a credit card purchase. You build up your FICO score. You all know what the FICO score is? Don't ask me what it stands for, but it's your credit rating. So it ranges from 350 to 850, and the more times you buy on credit and then you pay off that credit on a timely basis, your FICO score will go up. So if you're interested in getting a car loan or a mortgage or any other kind of loan, you want a high FICO score, because a low FICO score means you might not get that loan, or if you do get it, a high interest rate. Okay, so a credit card is generally the way to go. Anybody buy gift cards, by the way?
Used to.
Huh?
Most of them now are saying there's no expiration date. I always make sure.
Law.
Like Stu Leonard's place.
A law is going to go into effect actually in August that prevents an expiration date within 5 years.
Yeah.
Okay? But the downside on a credit card you may want to think about is they're allowed to charge
gift
an administrative...
Gift card. You said credit card.
Excuse me, gift card.
Thank you.
I just want to see whether you're listening. a gift card, they can charge an administrative fee after a year if there's been no transactions.
That's usually paid
for. Yeah. But what else is the even bigger problem? They do expire. Stores love to sell you gift cards because a good percentage of them get lost and get used.
That's pure profit for them.
Yeah. Right? Or the store goes out of business. Remember Fortune Off down the road here?
Yeah.
A lot of complaints about like gift cards. They essentially became useless when Fortune Off went out of business. Okay? So I'm not such a big fan of gift cards. If you want to get a gift card that's given out by the Galleria Mall, which is good for all the stores in the Galleria Mall.
How about the American Express
one? Yeah, that's okay. That's okay, because American Express hopefully ain't going to go out of business. If it does, we're throwing a lot of doo-doo, right? Okay, so we're talking about identity theft. So try not to give out information over the phone. But even if you go into Macy's or you send in your tax return, your check, if you owe money, and your 1040, which has your social security number, goes through, I think somebody said, 17 different pairs of hands. And so your identity is only as good as the weakest link. If there's one fraudulent person that gets that information, you may be subject to identity theft.
Do you have a choice? You got to pay them.
But then you got to detect it, okay?
I got a call from a collection agency. My husband's name is John Moran, and there's a lot of John Morans in Yonkers. And he was looking for John Moran. I said, you've got the wrong John Moran. My husband doesn't let the bill get warm on the table. He's writing a check out, So I knew it was not for him. Plus, we have three insurances. So he asked me, he was very nice, and he goes, when I made sure that he understood it wasn't my husband, he said to me, what is your husband's last 4 digits of his Social Security
number? Oh, no.
That's okay.
It's not bad.
That's okay. You can give that information out.
Yeah,
they would have to have the first, the first 5 digits.
So I said,
you can do that.
Yeah, I did. I did do it. He said, I'm very sorry that I bothered you.
Just don't give out the whole source. But be careful, okay? Shred important documents before you throw them in the garbage, right? And don't go over to Staples over here and get the $10 shredder. I don't have any stock in Staples, but the $10 shredder, the morning you put in one piece of paper, it overheats, and you got to wait for a half hour to put in the second piece of paper, right? It's not so good. Then you want to get a shredder that costs shreds, okay? There are people actually go through the garbage and put shreds together and get your personal information. So do that. Don't carry, if you have 20 different credit cards, you're in a heap of doo-doo also. I know one guy has like 20 credit cards. He keeps them all in his wallet, of course. That's absolutely a no-no. So when he sits down, one side of his rear end is so much higher than the other side. He sits lopsided, You know, and some people will use one credit card to pay off another credit card. You're in bad shape if you're going to do that. You know, particularly kids. You know, college kids. You know, there have been some laws passed to prevent that. And by the way, recent laws that have been passed are the credit card companies not allowed to raise your interest on an existing debt. They can raise the interest rate on new debt, but not on existing debt unless you have an adjustable interest rate. Okay. They're not allowed to, unless you've agreed to this, they will not allow you to go over your credit limit. So that's not such a good thing. Well, what they would do is they would allow you to go over your credit limit, and then they would charge you a hefty fee for going over the credit limit. Now you have to give your express approval to allow them to take in an expense if it's over your credit limit. Okay, so those are a couple of good laws that have been passed this year to protect you, really. Okay, what else you want to do?
That's it.
Check your statements, huh?
We got to go.
We got to go? My time up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. You're waiting outside for the next meeting.
Oh, okay.
I appreciate.
Oh my God.
You're
what day are you going to be in Friday?
Huh? Just remember the big print giveth, the small print taketh away. I mentioned to you about the friendly people. If it's too good to be true, it probably ain't true.
Right.
Fools rush in where angels fear to tread. Don't rush into any situation. It's easy to squeeze the toothpaste out of the tube than what? To get it back in, don't give out your money so easy. If you have a problem, come and see us, and we'll try to help you. Thank you, Bernice. I appreciate it.
I appreciate that.
And this everybody.
Thank you.
And I've got another...
We don't have enough people here.
In the box, let me give out some stuff that's in the box that'll be helpful for you. And if you want to get on our mailing list, which gives you new brochures that come out, any press releases that come out, sign right here if you would, and put down your social security number and your credit card number, please.
What did Jason want to say?
Every day.
That's the thing we arrange.
Minutes? Anyone?
I'm just testing it, you know?
Some of
them. Okay, magnets for everybody.
Okay, thank you very much. Everybody, hello. I need to pass the minutes.
We already did.
Oh, we did it? Okay. We did it. Okay, the next meeting. Hello?